I was speaking with someone over the telephone the other day. They were telling me about an experience that they had with someone else, and that someone else was quite negative about the scriptures because he felt like some of the things in the scriptures were not right, and that there was contradiction. One thing in particular that he had a problem with was the story of Job, and also with the scripture where Jesus says that unless you hate your mother, your father, your sister, brother, home's land, even for my sake, you cannot be my disciple. So I was thinking on these things, and there is a number of places in the scriptures where there seems to be contradiction. It's not really contradiction, but it appears to be. And if you're only looking at things as they are naturally speaking, then it becomes a contradiction. And here's the reason why. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, we're going to look at this scripture, then we're going to Exodus 20, and then to Matthew 10, I believe. Galatians 5, 17. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. That's King James English. Basically, what that is saying is that the flesh nature of man opposes the spirit, and the spirit opposes man. The two are warring against each other. In Romans 8:7, it says that the carnal mind is enmity against man. It is not in submission to Christ. Not only is it not, but it's impossible that it can't. In other words, it's saying that the world of man and the world of God are opposites. And in this case, opposites do not attract. The world of man is in opposition to the world of God, and the world of God is in opposition to the world of man. They cannot be brought together as one. It remains for us to pull out of what we call the world of man and to move into the world of God. In other words, we have to learn how to not think just in terms of the natural, but to think in terms of the spirit world. Because God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is where real truth and real reality lies. Paul talks about it in the Corinthians. He says that in the natural realm, the realm of man, that's the temporal realm. Everything is temporary. What seems to be real really isn't real. Follow what I'm saying? So I want to give an example of this contradiction. And Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. It is not only God's will that he wants us to honor our father and mother, but he makes that a commandment. He said, this is what you're to do. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on the earth. In other words, if you do not honor your father and mother, there's a good chance that life could be shortened. At least, this is a necessity. In order to honor God, there must be honor to your father and your mother. Now, that's simple to understand. All right, now turn to Matthew chapter 10. And now we're moving into the New Testament, and this is what Jesus has to say about it. In verse 34, chapter 10, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And of course, a sword is used for dividing. You remember Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit. So the sword is a divider. And then verse 35, he says, I am come to set a man at variance against his father. To set a man against his father, the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And then he goes on to talk about taking up the cross and following him and things like that. But that seems to be a direct contradiction to what we find in Exodus, where God says that thou shalt love your mother and your father and your mother. And because of that, that seeming to be a contradiction, there have been some that have said, well, the God of the New Testament is a different God from the God of the Old Testament. But we know that not to be true. It's the same God. But when you come to the New Testament, you're dealing more with the realm of spirit. And there was one occasion where Jesus gave a parable. After he gave the parable, the disciples said, Master, the people don't understand what you're talking about. Why do you talk to them in parables and they're not getting it? He said, it's not given for them to know, but it's given for you to know. So we learn by that the scriptures are written in such a way that those who have a heart to walk with God, to love him and to know him, they have an awareness and an insight into the scriptures that the natural man does not have. And Paul talks about that somewhat in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. But let's look at this. Verse 36, for example, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. When you get to fifth chapter of Corinthians, Paul talks about our body being our house. Our physical body is the house in which we live in. Our house then involves us physically, soulishly, and spiritually, body, soul, and spirit, all involved into this house of what I am. He says, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. When you begin to walk with the Lord and you start on your journey with him, it doesn't take long before you begin to realize that the things that hinder you the most are found within your own self. Your foes are within you. And then he talks about having to make a difference, that a separation from your father and from your mother. What Jesus is talking about here, he's not talking about the literal father and your literal mother, but he's talking about the father, for example, as being all of the things that you have been involved with, your experiences, your environments, all of the things, subtotal, that have made you what you are. Has to do with education, environment, people that you have been close to that have a way of shaping your thinking, the way of shaping your outlook, all of these type things. These are things that have fathered you. And in the same sense, there are many, many things that have brought to birth within you what causes you to be the way that you are. So when Jesus says that you're to hate your father and your mother, he's not talking about your literal father and your literal mother, but he's talking about all those things of man's world that have caused you to become what you are. And it is these things that will hinder your walk with God. These are the things that will oppose the spirit realm. And so it becomes quite necessary to be divided or to be separated from them. So it's not our literal father and mother that God has a problem with, or he expects us to love them, to care about them. But it's all those other things of this world that have birthed things in us and caused us to be something that God is not pleased with. You follow what I'm saying? And so these are the things that becomes necessary. But you see, there are a lot of people that they don't understand that because they only see things in the natural. So they tend to reject the scriptures because they don't grasp the true meaning. Over in the first part of Genesis, it says that the serpent beguiled Eve. Oh, did God really say that you're not to eat from that tree? Now, in our natural way of thinking, a serpent, it's a serpent, it's a snake. And we think of literal serpent. Does a serpent or a snake, a reptile, does it talk? I've never seen one talking. But here we are presented in the Word of God, which is supposedly only presents the truth, talking about a serpent that's talking. And is talking to Eve, and Eve talks back to it, and Eve doesn't seem to be startled at all about this serpent talking. So that seems a little far-fetched. And so, again, people tend to turn away from the scriptures because of that. And they'll reject many things that they say. However, when you get to the New Testament, and the Pharisees were a people that were very, very religious, and in their religiosity, they were turning people away from God in such a way so that they had control over the people. And when the Lord Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, he called them serpents. You serpents and you brood of vipers, because what came out of their mouth in the teaching of the people was like the venom of a serpent, you see, to lead them astray from the will of God. Now, these Pharisees were not literal serpents crawling on the ground. These Pharisees were people, but the serpent of them was their teaching. It's descriptive of their spirit, the fact that they're deceptive, they're subtle, they're leading the people astray. That's what the serpent is. So you go back to Genesis then, and you begin to look at it in that light, and you say, well, the serpent here, was that really a snake that talked? Or could it have been that something that was in the Pharisees, that there was something of that was also in Eve that was leading her astray? The scriptures don't necessarily have to present actual fact in the natural. The important thing is, not was there a serpent in the garden, not did the serpent speak, not was there a literal tree there that they were not to eat the fruit of. It's not those things that are important. The important thing is, can you hear what God's saying in the story? What is God speaking there? And this one person that I've been told about in this telephone conversation, their big problem was the story of Job. They couldn't handle that. That God will allow everything that Job had to be destroyed, his children killed. But then again, it talks about the daughter and the children. That doesn't necessarily have to be the literal daughters and children. But everything that is produced by us, by our own natural abilities, as a result of the way we think and of our carnal mind, that's our sons and daughters. Those are the things that we have produced. They are of us. And when they are born of us in our natural humanistic ways, then God wants to separate that from us so that we can be one with Him, and then that which is produced through us or by Him through us becomes things of reality, things of a divine nature. So it's not people that the Lord is trying to separate us from, but He's wanting to separate us from the things that have made us as we are, as against Him, and the things that have come forth from our lives that were not of Him. But then when someone looks at these things just naturally, it appears to be a contradiction, and many times they just reject the whole thing. Whenever we see there's many more of them. Whenever we see a contradiction, that's the time that we need to look to the Lord and look for an answer, look for a way. Because what we have presented to us in the Scriptures, and most particularly in the New Testament, are spiritual truths. And spiritual truths are never one with truths of the natural realm, because they come from a different world. Amen.